Listeners, welcome to this Mastering Life podcast episode where I'm inviting back Elaine Godley, the creator of the Perfect 10 Wellness Program. So welcome back, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Paul. Lovely to be with you and your listeners again.
And so without further ado, we're going to be looking today and speaking about how your body can heal itself.
Yes, a lot of people, Paul, think that people going to the doctors is the magic answer to healing, and they imagine that the doctor has all the answers. Well, in this day and age, Dr. Google has as many answers as our GP does, because things are moving all the time. Things are moving and changing, and new information is coming to light. And very often, Google is the first port of call for the doctor when you're sitting in the doctor's surgery. He or she will actually turn to the internet and Google your symptoms, which is quite bizarre, really. It is absolutely. But bear in mind, they are general practitioners. They're not specialists. The only specialist that you really ought to be listening to in the first instance is yourself. You are the specialist in your own body. You are the one who knows your body. You know if something's right, something's wrong. But surprisingly, not many people actually do know their own body. It sounds a complete ridiculous thing to say that you don't know your body, but how many people can say where their moles are, or what their resting heart rate is, or what their blood pressure is even? Very, very simple things like these. We don't tend to take much notice. We just assume everything is okay, and we just carry on regardless. So something as simple as checking your blood pressure can be absolutely life-changing. There's five key areas to this conversation about your body healing itself, and each of the areas we could go into quite a lot of detail, but I know we don't have time, so we're going to have to kind of skim over the surface. But the five areas are hydration, nutrition, sleep, exercise, and toxins. So starting from the first one, hydration, a lot of people are walking around dehydrated. We should be having a minimum of 1.5 to 2 litres of good quality water every day. That could be herbal teas, but be careful if you are on herbal teas as to which one you have, because a lot of them have caffeine in. And caffeine is actually dehydrating. So when you see sports people and the youngsters of today drinking Red Bull and the like, it makes my stomach churn, because they're not helping themselves at all. They're feeding themselves, they're feeding their body with chemicals. There's nothing natural about those kind of energy drinks at all. And there are some good energy drinks, of course. Obviously, I'm generalising here, but typically the mainstream ones that are available on sale and available to all ages. They're full of chemicals. Everything is artificial, and they are absolutely chock full of sugar and caffeine, and two of the worst things that we could have.
So when you say about herbal teas, Elaine, what about normal teas?
Well, normal tea is okay, and there's so many varieties of normal teas now. I don't encourage tea, because typically the English breakfast tea you'd have with milk, and when we get to the next section, nutrition, I don't advocate people drinking milk. I don't advocate dairy, so we'll talk about that shortly. But you can have tea without milk, or you could have milk that's more kinder to your body, such as almond, hemp milk, coconut milk, various nut milks, and there's a whole variety out there. But I don't drink tea. I haven't drunk tea for years. I never liked the stuff when I was a youngster. I used to drink coffee then. But people who I know who do drink tea, they say that these alternative milks aren't terribly nice in English breakfast tea. So when you're drinking herbal teas, green tea is particularly good, and chamomile, any of the berry teas, they're pretty okay. But even green tea has caffeine in. So again, everything in moderation. Don't go bonkers on thinking, oh, well, I've got to have all this liquid in me. I don't like drinking water, so I'm going to drink herbal teas. Just think about the types of teas that you're having. Or you could do what I do in the morning. I start my day with warm water. So I have cooled boiled water from the kettle. And then I have a quarter teaspoon of rock salt or sea salt with half a organic lemon squeezed in, and just a mug of water. So that starts the day off really well. The salt gets the electrolytes going. And when I say salt, I'm not talking processed table salt, which you'd never eat, but either rock or sea salt. Himalayan salt could work, but that doesn't have as many minerals in it as rock or sea salt. So that gets your electrolytes going in your body, which kind of wakes your system up. And then the lemon is a really good immune enhancing and jolly nice tasting beverage in the morning. So that's number one, which is the hydration. And very often people think they're hungry, but actually it's their body that's hungry, but it's hungry for water, for fluids. So particularly if you're thinking about losing weight, you need to lose weight. If you think you're hungry, have a glass of water. That will help to satiate your body and minimise the risk of overeating. And you can also drink water about half an hour before you eat a nice meal, because that will help you to be more full. It takes the body about 20 minutes to recognise that the stomach rather, that it's full. And if you have the water about half an hour, 20 minutes, half an hour, rather than with the food, having it with food will dilute the digestive effect of the food. So your digestive enzymes will be diluted, which is not to be recommended. It's not bad, but it's, you know, you can get much more minerals and nutrients from the food if you just take the food as it is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Understand that.
So nutrition, which is a big one. Many people use microwaves, and we used to think in days gone by that the problem with microwaves, for those of us who are awake, was the radiation. It's not actually the radiation. I mean, that's all pretty secure as you know, much as we can tell. But the problem is when food is nuked, the mineral and vitamin content is taken out completely. So you may as well just eat a cardboard box. There is no vitamin content, mineral content left in food after it's been heated in a microwave. So I used to actually sell microwaves. My first business, over 40 years ago now, I was in the kitchen industry. And at one time, for over 2 years, I didn't actually have an oven. I had two giant microwaves. When I think back now, you know, how horrendous was that? But I didn't know any different. So we're always learning as we go along. So microwave in the food definitely is a no-no. Not even, you know, reheating anything. The only thing to my mind that a microwave is useful for is heating up a wheat bag or, you know, a lavender bag if you've got an ailment and you want to get some comfort from a heated a heat pad. So no microwaves, because you're not going to get the nutrition. Also, no processed foods. The processed foods today are absolutely chock full of processed salt, chemicals, fillers, and sugar, loads and loads of sugar. I was introduced to a new app recently. Apparently, I'm probably the last one in the UK to discover this. It's a government app, and it's called Change for Life. Change and the number four, and then life. Actually, it might be called Food for Life. Anyway, it's a food scanner. So you download it on your phone, and then you offer the app against your phone screen against a barcode of any food that you buy that's got a barcode on. And it will tell you the amounts of added sugar. And a lot of the foods add sugar, particularly, you know, these gluten-free foods you have now. A lot of people allegedly are gluten intolerant. is not actually the gluten that's a problem for a lot of people. It's the wheat, and they're intolerant to the glyphosate that's sprayed on the wheat. That actually is the problem, but it gets disguised as a gluten intolerance. But that aside, the gluten-free foods, because they are pretty tasteless, they have humongous amounts of sugar in. So this app on your phone can test, if you're going around the supermarket, if you do buy stuff in packets, then look at the added sugar content, and you'll be horrified, absolutely horrified. Even some of the things that are sold as child-friendly and, you know, lots of special offers, bright packages, that the kids' cereals in particular are chock full of sugar. So sugar is something which is not a good thing to have. We've got the sugar tax now in the UK, and the government are waking up. But there's an awful lot of money involved in the sugar industry, so we're never going to do without it. But what we can do is to minimise our own risk and just reduce it as we can. Within nutrition, the other key aspect I mentioned to a little bit before is about dairy. Dairy is acidic, and dairy is anything from a cow, basically. So typically it would be the milk, and it would be cheese. So they're the key, you know, two key things that come from the cow. And the reason that we want to avoid dairy is because milk is made for cows. It has a growth factor in it which turns a baby calf into a giant cow within a very short space of time. So if you have any illness in your body, just imagine that with that growth factor, that is exacerbating the illness that you have. So imagine if you had a tumor, for example, inside of you, which you may not even know about, then you're drinking lots and lots of dairy, lots of milk, you could be unwittingly, you know, causing yourself quite a lot of damage. Having said that, there are ways you can get around it. There's lots of alternatives. I mentioned before the nut milks, hemp milks, coconut milk, etc., etc. I actually make my own milk. I don't have milk very often at all, but I make my own from almonds. So you can make your own nut milk, and that's far more nutritious than any that you would buy in the shops. The typical Alpro, for example, which is a generic make on the shelves in the UK, that only has 2% almond in. So if you're making your own, you're more in control. You're using organic ingredients, and far tastier as well. Dairy is acidic, and when our body is in a state of illness, or maybe it's getting itself ready to create an illness, the body becomes inflamed. It might be a particular area of the body, it might be the whole body, depending what sort of lurg is a running around in your body. But when your body is in an acidic state, that causes inflammation. Inflammation is the first step to illness and disease. So you want to keep your body as acid-free as possible, but you need to have a balance. Our body is meant to be a pH of 7.4. So that is in between being acidic and alkaline. So when you're ill, people with cancer, for example, those hundreds that I've mentored, very few of us get over 5.5 with our pH, and our bodies are very often in a perpetual acidic state. So fermented foods can help. So if you're eating fermented foods such as sauerkraut and the like, then that can also help your gut bacteria and also help to reduce the acidity in your body. And another quick tip for reducing the acidity is having a bicarb of soda. If you have a teaspoon of bicarb of soda in some warm water every day, that will help to regulate. And I've been doing that recently, and I've been testing my pH on a regular basis, and my pH now is pushing 7. Where it's never been more than about 5.5, and I've done that by using the bicarb trick. I don't have dairy, I don't have sugar. The other thing that causes a lot of acidity in our body is red meat. So minimizing or avoiding red meat can be a good idea as well, particularly if you're prone to illness and disease. So all of this information that I'm sharing, none of it's rocket science. And yet when people hear it, they think it's a completely different way to live. And it's going to take an awful lot of effort to change their habits, change their palates, because it is the case that your palate changes as you're going through this transformation. But I can tell you that the foods I eat are absolutely gorgeous. I love my food. In fact, I'm a bit overweight at the moment because I love it too much. But there's so many different alternatives. And we're not talking about following a diet as such here. We're talking about eating everything in moderation that is good for us and cutting out the things that aren't good for us. So it can be known as the rainbow diet. There's actually a book, a very good book, called The Rainbow Diet. And that's pretty much a Mediterranean diet. So it's having the omegas, the oils in our body. The oils are as essential as water is for us. So omega-3, omega-6s. And another way to get lots of vitamins and nutrients in us quickly, if we are feeling a bit poorly, is to juice. So having a juicer and juicing our vegetables, eating lots of eating lots of greens, and sweetening the green juice with a bit of fruit, but low sugar fruit, because a lot of people think eating fruit is a good idea, eating loads and loads of fruit, but fruit contains sugar. It's still sugar, although it's better than the processed stuff. It's still sugar, and again, sugar, you know, is not too good in our bodies, because it causes inflammation if you have too much.
Is there a hierarchy, Elaine, in terms of the sugar in certain fruits? For example, I don't know off the top of my head, does an orange generally contain more sugar than an apple, for example?
Yeah, there are lists, and I need to refresh my memory on those, actually, Paul, but it's so rare that I touch fruit. In fact, today I've eaten a kiwi fruit. Kiwi is one of the highest in vitamin C content, far more than a lemon is. Oranges, I avoid because I've got osteoporosis, and oranges are actually quite acidic. Right. So I avoid those, because acidic foods and fruits will not be helpful to your joints. They can cause joint pain. So again, people eating lots of fruits every day, just choose wisely the fruits that you're having. Google if you have any conditions to see which are the best foods and fruits and vegetables to eat. You can't go wrong with leafy green vegetables, and the darker the greens, the better. And when the fruit, the darker the fruit, the better. So dark berries, raspberries are particularly good, blackberries, blackcurrants, and so on. A trick with lemon, I don't like wasting anything at all. I actually freeze. I have lemons on the side in the kitchen, and I probably eat, I don't know, at least two lemons a day, juicing in them. In warm water, or adding to green tea. I have a cafetiere type teapot, and I have green tea in there. And very often I'll put a juice of an organic lemon in there as well, as you know, to change the flavour. But I also freeze my lemons. And if you freeze them, don't put them in there raw. Put them in a bag so you don't get the ice freeze. You know, on the skin. So a brown paper bag or one of those regular freezer bags, and you can then. When you need to add lemon to any recipe, or you make a curry or on a salad, you grate the outside of the lemon. I wear a rubber glove when I do that, because I don't get the cold. I have Raynaud's syndrome, which is poor circulation, and my fingers go white sometimes and numb because of the poor circulation. So I can't have a very hot or very cold on my hands. So I wear a rubber glove. And then I get the lemon and grate it, and I grate all of the pith and the skin, and then I use that grated, you know, pile of stuff, and I'll put it in all sorts of things, in soups and salads, sprinkle into curries, stir fries, whatever, and that is the best part of the lemon, and it's really, really high concentrate in vitamin C. and then the juice, you know, the center fleshy bit, I'll put that in the juicer and add to a juice that I make. And I juice probably, when I had cancer, I was juicing 3 or 4 times a day. Now I probably juice 2 or 3 times a week, but I still enjoy the juices. Okay, I know we're not got long here. Sleep is a big factor. So that's the third one out of my 5. Sleep is really, really important, because when we sleep, we're healing. So this is all about putting our body in a state where it can heal itself. So if we're feeding it well, we're making sure it's hydrated well. If we sleep well, that is really good for us, because our body, whilst our subconscious body kind of keeps their automated system, keeps on working, the rest of our body is calm, and we are getting in a healing state when we're asleep. The body is only designed to sleep in 2-hour tranches, and when we're younger, we seem to be able to override that. But as we get older, a lot of us will only sleep in 2 or 3 hour tranches. And I've recently found out that I've been doing that for years, thinking it's not very good, but actually it's what my body does. And when I was told recently that actually, well, that's what we're designed to do, I felt quite smug about it, because I've been doing that for years.
Right.
The trick for me is to make sure that if I do wake up, I just literally just change my position, turn over and go back to sleep again. The difficulty is, if I've got something on my mind, I keep a pen and paper by my bed. So again, I would get that off of my mind before I go to bed, before I've, you know, snuggle down. And then that helps to keep the mind clear and allow the body to heal during the night. The next one is exercise. So exercising is good, but it has to be the right exercise for you. Drawing on the experience and conversations we've had about behavioral profiling, every behavioral profile style, every one of the DISC dominance, influence, steadiness and compliance types of behavior, they all have different forms of exercise that work for them. So don't feel that you have to throw yourself around a gym, or you have to climb a mountain or do a marathon or anything like that. So some behavioural styles, that is good for them to do. But again, you have to be realistic. You have to be mindful of your age, your fitness level, your health, before you even start exercise. For most of us, all we need to do is walk. So if you have a brisk walk, then keeping mobile as we get older is a very good idea, rather than just sort of sitting as a couch potato. Or if we're sitting in an office, getting out and walking, use the stairs instead of the lift, you know, get off the bus or stop earlier so you can walk the rest of the way. None of this is costing any money. It's not difficult to do, and everybody can build that sort of thing into their day. So exercising for in a way that suits you. I've got back problems, so running for me is an absolute no-no. I'd be in a terrible state. So for me, brisk walking works, but I need to work myself up to it. I can't just, you know, storm out the house and then just start brisk walking straight away. I'd sort of have to meander along and then gradually build up my speed. So know your body, know what it likes, and give it to your body. In a way that it appreciates it. The final one in my top 5 things to help your body heal itself is by removing toxins. So we have a whole variety of toxins within us that we know nothing about. So for example, many, many, many people carry viruses, and a lot of these viruses are childhood viruses that have never actually gone away. And when I had my serious cancer, I got checked up by a chap who I still see, and I recommend a lot of people see him. He checks the level of virus. Well, he checks your whole body, checks all your organs in a very simple system using acupressure, and it's a type of bioresonance. It's not bioresonance, but it's similar. And I had I can't remember, it was 9 or 12 viruses that I had, and there were no symptoms whatsoever, but I had all these viruses lurking around in my body. So imagine if you're feeding yourself the wrong type of food, you're not exercising, you're not sleeping, you're not hydrated, you're cooking food in a microwave, you're buying low quality foods, and you've got viruses, plus you might have, a lot of people have more metal in their body that they realize. So having your metal fillings, always ask if you're at the dentist, always request a white filling. Don't have the mercury fillings, because for some people, they are literally poison. And I know a lot of people who've had all of their mercury fillings removed and their health has improved no end because they don't have the metal toxicity. There's a very simple way that you can remove the metals in your body, which is by using activated charcoal. And you can get this online, you can get it at health food stores. It's about £10 a little jar, and you just put a teaspoon in a litre of water. It turns the water black, but there's no flavour. So I carry around a toothbrush in my bag, so just in case I end up with black marks around my mouth without realising it. But activated charcoal, what it does is, as you're drinking the water with the activated charcoal, it attracts the metals and other toxicity that's in your body, and then it passes through you. So activated charcoal is a very simple and cheap way to get the metals out of your body. But also there's other toxins. There's toxins in the air. You know, just walking down the road, we often hear on the news about people who've died because their breathing was so impaired, and it's because they lived on a main road and they had bad asthma and so on. So when I fill up my car with fuel, I wear scarves anyway around my neck, coloured scarves and so on. You'll always find me with my scarf over my nose. I don't breathe in or minimal breathing in the toxins when I fill the car up. There's toxins in the house. Toxins are all around us in the house. Toxins are in our fabrics, in our curtains, in our carpets, our sofas, cushions, everything. The fabrics have toxicity built into them by the nature of the what they're made of. And you've got air fresheners and all this kind of stuff that we poison ourselves with. So any sprays around the house, well, they're banned in my house. I have two spray bottles, one upstairs, one downstairs. Nothing in my house is chemical whatsoever. Even my washing powder, I use mineral balls. I don't use any washing liquid or powder of any sort that's not mineral generated. And my cleaning products, the two bottles just contain white wine vinegar, water, and some drops of essential oil. To help the cleaning process. There's lots of essential oils that you can diffuse around the house. You don't have to use air fresheners. Natural essential oils are particularly good. They're uplifting as well as being good for the air. You know, they have health benefits, lots of different fragrances. So that's a quick run through, lots of information to take in, but it's a quick run through pretty much of how I live my life, really. My family think I'm completely bonkers, but to me it's just a way of and I know I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing the right thing for me, and it works.
Fascinating insights. I suspect, Elaine, that people might say, well, you know, as you say, oh shit, the woman's bonkers, this, that, and the other. It's very detailed. I personally find it fascinating. But what's that sort of, for people that want to know more, and I know this is part of your Perfect 10 Wellness Program, how can people get in touch with you? How can they, you know, dig a bit deeper with you? What's the contact details, particularly for your Perfect 10 Wellness Program?
Okay. My website is www.perfect-health.co.uk. And at the moment, I am running a beta program, but the aim is to have the whole lot online so that people can then access this as and when they want to. There's 10 parts to it, as you know. They can have one part, two parts, or they can have the whole lot, depending upon how quickly they want to dive in and find out more information.
Superb. And I think with all these things, Elaine, for all of us, you know, when we listen to people around, you know, whether it's health, wealth, relationships, you know, this advice that's out there en masse, I think what we learn to do is take the bits, you know, we start with the bits that resonate with us most strongly, don't we? You know, it's not that kind of radical shift overnight in one foul swoop. So, you know, that said, I'm sure that there's, you know, there's loads of little, there's certainly a couple of things I picked up on straight away that I've been implementing. And I do actually love coconut milk, and that'll certainly be one of them. So there we have it, listeners. Fascinating insights. I'm sure, as I say, there'll be something in there for all of us. You know, it's almost, I think, in the early stages of a mix and match, a pick and mix, call it what you will. And so, you know, Elaine's given you details. Please do get in touch. And until next time, keep safe, keep learning, and keep loving. But above all, keep mastering life.